Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Star Wars Iron Fist, Book 6 of the X-Wing series by Aaron Alston. He had probably been born human, but now mechanical limbs replaced his right arm and both legs, and the upper right portion of his bald head was a shiny metal surface with a standard computer interface. He approached the members of Wraith Squadron as they sat crammed into their booth, and with neither threat nor comment, he snatched a wine bottle from the next table over and brought it down on Runt Ekwish's head. Runt, the furred alien with a long, big-toothed face, slumped in his seat. Kel Tanner, seated opposite Runt, scrambled to his feet and came up in a sidekick that caught the cyborg under his chin and lifted him, slamming him to the bar's floor. The cyborg pulled himself up, reached into the next booth past bar patrons who shrieked and ducked away, and yanked free the table bolted to the floor. He hauled it backward, then swung it faster than any human could manage. But Kel ducked forward, rolled under the table, came up on his feet a mere handspan in front of the cyborg, and planted 1, 2, 3 blows in his attacker's gut. The cyborg staggered backward, and Kel lashed out with a foot, kicking the table from his fingers. The other bar patrons seemed to settle on a consensus. They held back and began putting down bets. Commander Wedge Antilles, the squadron's leader, nodded over the wisdom of that choice. Then the bar was filled with uniforms, a stream of men and women pouring in the main entrance dressed in the distinctive outfit of New Republic Military Police. The squadron medic, Ton Fainan, the man with the mocking manner, well-trimmed beard and mustache, and prosthetic plate over the left side of his head, held a small vial full of liquid under Runt's nose. The non-human's nostrils flared, and he jerked reflexively, trying to get away from the smell.
"Easy, Runt," he said. "We're about to go somewhere you can relax for a few hours. In the company of some charming people, too, I'll bet."
The military police led them out of the smoke-filled bar into the only slightly less oppressive atmosphere of street-level Coruscant. It was raining, a steady spray of liquid that felt like 3/4 rainwater and 1/4 vehicle lubricant. Tyria Sarkin, the slender woman with a blonde ponytail, grimaced. "It would be nice to be posted to a clean world next," she said. Then she saw the military policeman gesturing toward the waiting skimmer, a windowless slab-sided model used to transport prisoners, and she obligingly followed the other wraiths in that direction. Toward the front, Face Lauren, the once handsome actor whose face was now creased by a livid scar from his left cheek to his right forehead, noted the nameplate on the nearest MP. "Tioron," he said. "That's a Corellian name, isn't it?" The officer nodded. "I'm from Corellia, born and bred." Face turned back toward Wedge and smiled. "Ah, just like our reception committee back on M2398, eh, Commander?" Wedge managed not to stiffen. The reception committee on the moon of system M2398's third planet had not been made up of Corellians. It had, in fact, been a trap. An invitation to land that turned out to be a fatal ambush. He nodded.
"Just like it, Face. And just like then, you're my wing."
Wedge saw casual little glances exchanged among the wraiths, and knew they had all just become alert and ready. Face hadn't been Wedge's wingman on that mission. Face walked a little faster within the crowd of wraiths until he was at the front of the line of prisoners, immediately behind the first pair of military policemen. He reached the rear of the skimmer, nodded at their gesture to board, and struck, slamming his fist into the throat of one MP, jumping on the other. No time to watch things unfold. Wedge heard blaster pistols clearing leather behind him. Wedge grabbed the sideboard, who had been ushered out of the bar with the wraiths, and swung around, hauling the startled assailant in position between him and the guards. Nobody moved. That was Tom Fainan holding the blaster rifle previously owned by one of their captors. That man, Wedge saw, was staggering away, his hands clutching his throat, trying futilely to arrest the tide of blood seeping between and around his fingers. The MPs paused, saw the gun aimed at them, and one by one ceased struggling with the wraiths. They were now in a debriefing room in Starfighter Command headquarters. A colonel Wedge didn't know was conducting the interview, but Admiral Akbar, Commander-in-Chief of New Republic Military Operations, was also seated at the interrogator's table. He was a friendly presence, in Wedge's estimation. Face Lauren, his voice in a reasonable tone Wedge knew to be forced, answered, "He didn't walk like a Corellian."
"That's not enough justification to attack someone with proper credentials," the colonel said.
Face stiffened. "Respectfully, sir, it is when I'm correct."
"I'll be preposterous. You can't classify a man's home world just by looking at him."
"Yes, I can, sir." The colonel looked dubious, but without speaking, he stood, walked backward from the table, and then walked back and forth a half dozen paces.
"Hard to say," Face said. "If you had any distinctive walking mannerisms from your home world, you erased it with military training. At Vogel 7, if I'm not mistaken, I'd say that you were injured at some time in the past and had to learn to walk again, or maybe it was a disfigurement at birth, corrected by surgery?"
The colonel resumed his seat. Surprise was evident on his face.
"How did you do that?"
"Well, I was an actor. On top of that, I'm trained to recognize, analyze, and assume physical mannerisms. I concluded that the attack in the bar was a deception. The cyborg was trotted out to start the trouble and make an MP arrest look legitimate."
Wedge said, "My guess is that Zinge was behind this attack. We hurt him pretty badly when we destroyed the Implacable."
That ship, an Imperial Star Destroyer, belonged to Admiral Apwar Trigget, a subordinate of the warlord Zinge, who was now the chief enemy and target of the New Republic.
"I'd say that he's figured out who Wraith Squadron is, and has decided to make us pay."
Akbar nodded.
"My own conclusion as well."
The colonel closed down his datapad.
"All right. Pending the results of further investigation into this matter, I'm going to release your squadron."
"Thank you, sir," Wedge said. Admiral Akbar came forward.
"I will leave the matter of the protection of your subordinates to you, Commander Antilles. But I do have orders for you. I think you will find them to your liking. They play to the, how would I put it, improvisational strengths of your new squadron."
Wedge smiled.
"Those improvisational strengths are beginning to give me grey hairs, Admiral. But thank you in spite of that."
The Wraiths gathered in the hangar temporarily assigned them, as Wedge explained that they had new orders from Admiral Akbar.
"I'll outline those orders at a later date, but right now, I hate to say it, leave is effectively cancelled. I want someone on duty here with our vehicles until we lift for our next assignment, and I want everyone walking around with eyes behind as well as in front. Understood?"
The Wraiths nodded. As the pilots moved their separate ways, Fainan threw his arm over Kell's shoulder and looked at Tyria.
"If you'd excuse us for a moment, I have a few words to say in private to your toy friend."
She gave him an arch look.
"My what?"
"What did I say?" Fainan shrugged.
"A few moments." Tyria shrugged and moved to her X-wing.
"Did you catch the name of the colonel who conducted our investigation?" Fainan asked.
Kell's scowl turned from irritation to confusion.
"I don't think Commander Antilles mentioned it." "Retness."
Kell glanced over at Tyria, but she had one of her snub fighters' engine ports open and was intent on the machinery within.
"That's the name of the trainer who tried to get Tyria to steal an X-wing before she joined the Wraiths." "The same. He's still training pilots."
Kell took a deep breath. Aton Repness was an instructor for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?